Okay, praise the Lord. So your self-image is how you see yourself, and how you see yourself matters, ladies and gentlemen, because if you think you are very or you don't deserve certain things, you can never push yourself to certain places because already you have disqualified yourself, right? So this is what we're looking at. And even as we are here, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow I'll be teaching on growing intentionally. I want all of you to join, right? So I can teach you how to grow intentionally. I remember when I got saved, I used to study the Word of God. I mean, I still do, of course. I used to study the Word of God and I'll write down what I'll study in a book. So I used to write it down, write down scriptures, what I learned, write down, meditate, reflect on what I studied. Then one day somebody got my book and threw it away. And then when they threw the book away, that's when I had realized how much I've grown. I'm like, oh, wow. So sometimes, consistency is boring. I'm telling you, because they're doing the same thing. Every day for me, I'm teaching the word of God. Yeah, for sure. I can tell you what's my schedule for free. Every day I'm teaching God's word. But on Monday, even though my Monday is my rest day, I still teach. On Tuesday, there's the word I'm going to teach on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday are when I'm teaching people, like a bigger group of people. But really, for me, every day I'm teaching. So it means every day I'm studying, every day I'm learning. So growth is supposed to be intentional. So tomorrow I'm going to be teaching on that so that you can grow. Praise the Lord. This is us, wonderful ideas. We look amazing, as usual. And encourage me by participating in the chat so that I know that we are here. Amen. And you see, self-image, ladies and gentlemen, even as I'm about to introduce myself, you see, what you think about yourself matters. How you introduce yourself to the world, it matters. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Robbie Makasa, and I am a mechatronics engineer. I'm a graphic designer. I'm an author. I'm a guitar instructor. I also instruct in playing the keyboard, by the way. I'm the president of Interactive Bible Study, and I am a teacher of God's Word. When I started IBSA, I never used to call myself the president of IBS. But then later on, as we continued moving, I realized that, wait, I'm actually running an organization. So I am the president and I am the founder. So hey, might as well call myself one because it's what I do. But some of us say there are certain things you do. You know you run a business. You're the CEO of that business, but you fail to call yourself a CEO because it's a kiosk. For those of us in Zambia, it's a kiosk is a kandema. Because you think it's so small, so I can't call myself a CEO. When do you become a CEO? When the business becomes bigger or when you start the business? When are you a CEO? I want to know. When are you a founder of an organization? When it's doing good and well, or when you started, right? Because how you address yourself, ladies and gentlemen, is how people address you. But if you think your thing is so small, people will also make it small. I have big ideas, I have big dreams. Amen. So how you carry yourself matters, ladies and gentlemen. I can promise you now, when people text me in my inbox, and then when I tell them my age, they get shocked. Like, ah, so you're not an old guy. I'm like, oh, I'm young like you too. I'm just serious. Praise the Lord. I'm just doing what God called me to do. And so sometimes people think that, oh, this guy's an older guy. I'm like, no, I'm a young person. But I'm just very serious. Amen. So how you see yourself matters. Praise the Lord. Okay, so number one, how to grow in your self-image is you have to guard how you talk to yourself. Whether you know it or not, you have a running conversation with yourself all the time. What is the nature of yours? Do you encourage yourself or do you criticize yourself? In your mind, are you thinking, I'm so small? I can't do it. I'll never be enough. I will never be a good wife. I'll never be a good husband. Oh, I can't do it. Some of us, our vocabulary is always, I can't, I can't, I can't. And so when certain opportunities present themselves, we cannot because The word in our mind is you cannot, you cannot. Look, the world has enough negativity. If you speak yourself like that, be kind to yourself. When you get up, there's somebody who wants to annoy you, irritate you, frustrate you. So you might as well be kind to yourself. So do you encourage yourself or do you criticize yourself? So you need to learn to create a positive self-image. If you're negative, you undermine your self-worth. Right? Where does your negative critical self-talk come from? Sometimes, unfortunately, it's usually from our upbringing. Maybe your mom would call you a dog or an animal or a monkey. Oh my goodness. You know, I'm Bemba by tribe. Apparently, I'm Bemba by tribe. And you know, when people insult you in your vernacular, so think about it in your own native tongue. Somebody calls you a dog. What's a dog in your native tongue? Let me see in the chat what a dog is. If we ask all these things, you're going to see that it's quite heavy. In my native tongue, a dog is imbwa. Right? Imbwa. In Nyanja is galu. In Setswana, it should be ncha. So imagine somebody comes and says, wembwa, we. So they've said, you dog. But you dog and wembwa, we. Two different things. Now, I'm not insulting anybody tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just trying to let you know where your upbringing came from or where your negativity came from. It came from maybe the house you grew up in because people were calling you a wembwawe. That means a dog. So in your native tongue, it's heavy. I'm a dog? I'm a monkey? Oh, I can't be a monkey. How am I a monkey? All right, so what is a dog in your native tongue? Comment in the chat so I can read. In Lozi is nja. Is that it? Nja. Yes, so you nja. I don't know how to pronounce it, but nja. For those who speak Shona, how do you say dog in your language? Because I think we're representing Botswana, Zimbabwe here. And then most of us are Zambians, right? Okay. Let me read. Michelle says, imbwa. Hey, oh, okay. So that's dog in your language as well. So it's very weighty, praise the Lord. So I've used these terms, ladies and gentlemen, just to help us understand that how you see yourself matters. But sometimes, unfortunately, we don't have environments that are very good. Amen. Yeah, we don't have environments. Or when we were growing up, people would call us all sorts of names. And you have to learn to forgive our parents, praise the Lord, because maybe that's how they were also raised. But look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Right? Okay, inja indebele. Okay, this is good. So this is why we are called the Bantu-speaking people, yeah? Similar languages. But you see, the Bible says, for as it thinks in his heart. So the question is, what do you think about yourself? What are you always picturing? In your mind, are you broke? In your mind, are you poor? In your mind, are you somebody that cannot run a business? What's in your mind? Because whatever you do, ladies and gentlemen, is an expression of what's going on inside of you. So when people are acting a certain way, it's because in their mind, that's actually who they are. So as he thinks, so is he. So I'm always thinking, I can never do it. So you know what's going to happen? You never do it because you've never given yourself a chance to do something for yourself and just go at it with that boldness and confidence. There are many reasons why I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I might be thinking, what if I start? You know, I've had meetings where nobody came. And then I taught myself, and I was so happy. You know, the Bible says, Robbie, come on, brother, you're preaching good. I'm teaching, and I'm very serious, actually. Like, I started, invited, shared flyers. Nobody attended the meeting. I was alone, and I started teaching. You see, the Bible says, man of God. You see, you're anointed. And I was the only one in the meeting. And I taught for 30 minutes and I ended and I prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Wow. That was a beautiful teaching. And then I logged out. But if you don't believe in yourself, if you don't believe in what God has placed in you, nobody's going to believe in it. One of the things we lack in the world is encouragement. Majority of people are scared to start something because of how people will think, what people will think. Sometimes when people meet me, they're trying to find out what is IBS. Some of you who joined, they are wondering, is this really a Bible study group? No, it's not. It's not your normal Bible study group. No, it's bigger than that. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. And so sometimes people are trying to find out what is it? What does it do? Well, he's teaching every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. What is it that he's actually doing? And I'm there like, you never know what I'm doing, but I'm doing something, right? So what do you think about the vision that God has given you? What do you think about your own life? Because as you think, ladies and gentlemen, so are you. So you have to guard your self-talk. You have to guard from the negativity that already the world has. Amen. So learn to value you. I'm worth it. I want you to repeat after me, and you can even type it in the chat. Amen. Yeah, you can type it in the chat just so that you know that, look, I am worth it. That's what I mean. Yeah. So type it in the chat. I'm worth it. I'm worth fighting for. Praise the Lord. So that even when you get into a relationship, ladies, ladies, don't ask out a man. Let me tell you something about men. Men naturally don't fight for what they've never labored for. This is why there's a concept of paying the bridal price. Because I paid a certain amount of money for the one I want to marry, the money that I'm paying is not the price for the woman. No, I'm not buying somebody's child. But it shows honor. It shows that I honor your child so much. I'm willing to pay this much so that we can start a family. Men love to work for things. This is why usually a man is associated with work. So if you ask out a man, ladies, you've changed the dynamic. So in that relationship, you'll keep pursuing because you changed it. This is why, haven't you noticed in Genesis 2, verse 24, the Bible says, a man shall leave his father and mother. It says, and join his wife, cleave unto his wife. Question, isn't the wife also leaving their mother and father? How come the Bible just says a man? Because in that scripture, pursue means, I mean, to cleave means to pursue continually. So meaning a man is just chasing. This is why you find that naturally, even in the olden times, men would be hunters. Men pursue. So it's not a negative thing. But sometimes society has perverted that natural thing in men so that now a man can have five, six girlfriends because it's in his nature to pursue. No, it's not meant to be perverted, but a man leaves to cleave, to pursue, to continually chase after you. So if the man is not chasing after you, why are you in the relationship? Please end the relationship. I'm telling you for free. Don't ask out a guy. Praise the Lord. No, I might not get married. Please don't ask out men. Very wrong. I'm worth fighting for. Do you see what I mean? And then if you're in IBS, you tell me, oh, I asked him out. I'll help you break up. Sharp, sharp. Just say, give me the number. Don't worry. I'll tell him it's your father. Like, what are you doing, my daughter? Please. Praise the Lord. So don't ask out a man. It changes the dynamics of the relationship. Amen. So guard your self-talk. Amen. So free advice for you. Number two, stop comparing yourself to others. Amen. How many of us compare ourselves to others? Sometimes, even in the line of work you are in, it's very easy to compare to others. Maybe you are in the agriculture business or poultry business, and then you start comparing yourself to another person. How come that chicks do better than mine? How come? Instead, go and learn. When you start comparing yourself to others, ladies and gentlemen, you are killing yourself. You are killing what God placed in you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, it says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. The Bible is saying that it's not wisdom when you begin to compare yourself. I'm a man of ministry, so why should I compare myself with somebody else who's also doing ministry? Why should I start being like another pastor when God has given me something that's very unique? right? Imagine a fish is telling a bird and saying, I wish I could fly like you. And the bird is also saying, oh, I wish I could swim like you. But that's not in their nature. When you look at a bird flying, it's so natural, it doesn't struggle. So it's so beautiful when you see a shark swimming or a fish or these animals that live in the waters. It's so beautiful because they were meant to swim like that. Amen. So comparing yourself is, it's a needless distraction. The only one you should compare yourself is you. Compare yourself to last year. How much have I improved in the last 12 months? Why am I comparing myself to another person? And maybe there are also some of us who our parents compared us to other siblings. You should be like that one. Not nice. So if that's happened to you before, even when you're raising your kids, don't allow your children to have enmity against each other. Yeah, in the Bible, there were two siblings. One was angry with the other because God accepted the other's sacrifice. Instead of just asking, bro, how come God accepted yours and not mine? The guy decided, let me kill him. You see? And sometimes we think, oh no, that can never be me. Of course, yeah, you're not going to kill your sibling. But you know that sometimes you can just be jealous. Check your heart. Sometimes you may find that you're actually jealous of your friend. Or you're jealous of your relatives because they're doing well. When you notice that, it's not a time to start saying, ah, oh my God, this is me. No, just go and repent and ask God to say, Lord, why am I being jealous of somebody I can learn from? Do you see what I mean? So when you begin to compare yourself, ladies and gentlemen, you are killing yourself. The mission is to become better today than you were yesterday. So you need to focus on what you can do to improve yourself and to grow. But if you're comparing yourself to others, you'll never match up. There's somebody who's prettier than you. Newsflash. There's somebody more handsome than you are. So if you get into a relationship based on physical qualities, already it's on the surface because when somebody more attractive comes, you have a reason to leave that relationship. Or if a man, all you like about your lady is, oh, she's so pretty. You know, she has curves. And she's being gifted by the Lord. So you know when she's walking, oh my God, I'm so happy. Oh, there's somebody who's bigger and curvier. So does that mean that if there's somebody who's curvier, so I should leave this one then go for the other one who's curvier? You see the things that people do, eh? I want a man who has more money than this man. There's always somebody doing better than you. Amen. Your role is not to start comparing yourself. No, it's to grow. Learn. Okay, I'm doing this business that I'm also doing. If you have opportunities to learn from somebody, I'll be honest. For me, the biggest assets are relationships. But people, they don't invest in relationships, or they don't see relationships as assets. Because I want to know, how come you move from point A to point B? How did you get there? When I'm having conversation with my dad, I'm always asking his process. What motivates you? I'm not asking about, oh, you have so much money. How can I make as much money as you? Like, I want to know what motivates you. Why do you keep doing what you're doing? So when I'm having those conversations, I ask my dad, okay, dad, I've noticed that you are always, my dad is a teacher by profession, teaches music. And I noticed that my dad always teaches at international schools. So I'd ask him, how come you're always teaching at international schools? What is it about you that somehow you're always in places where it's just international schools? There's a certain standard. How do you find yourself in such kind of places? Then he begins to tell me, oh, this is that, this is that. Oh, really? Interesting. But if we're just focusing on, oh, this person has a Range Rover, how does that help you, right? So don't compare yourself to others. You can take time to grow and ask questions. Praise the Lord. Yeah, ask questions. Okay, number three, move beyond your limiting belief systems. Again, Proverbs 23, verse 7, the Bible says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. It says, eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So sometimes the reason why people don't do anything about their lives is you are scared to fail. How many of you are afraid to fail? Raise your hand. Or you've been afraid. Or you can say a yes in the chat. You've been afraid before to fail. Or why you couldn't enter the relationship is you kept thinking, what if it doesn't work out? Because the one before didn't work out. You're scared to start a business because you started business before and it didn't work out. You're scared to start something because you're afraid of whatever challenges, and they may be valid, but you have to move beyond your limiting belief system. Amen. You know, when I first got saved, there was a time, I don't know why, but when I was in high school, right? I got saved when I was 17. So there was a time somebody was sick. And so these guys decided to call me, Robbie, there's somebody who's sick. In my mind, I'm thinking, let's take him to the hospital. So I'm running, okay, let's go. We get to the place, and then I realized that I was actually called because they thought I was the solution. And everybody's looking at me like, oh, here's the patient. And then I'm thinking, I'm just supposed to take this patient to the hospital. They're like, oh no, we heard you're a Christian, so we thought you could pray for him. And I'm like, hey, me, I should do what? And I'm in that room, I'm like, and so because they've called me, I'm like, okay, give me a minute. So I decided to tell the people, you guys excuse me. Then they left. I was alone with the patient. I started praying to God, Lord, it won't look nice. They've called me as a man of God. I was a boy then. So they've called me as a boy of God. Praise the Lord. Lord, you have to do something because it won't look nice. No, it won't look nice. And then how will it look? How it looked that God sent a man of God, and the man of God couldn't pray for the sick. No, God, you have to do something. And so, you know, as if I was so confident, I placed my hand on the guy and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, he's strengthened in Jesus' name. Amen. And then what I did, I said, you are healed. And then I left. Now, the reason why I left, people are thinking, oh, he doesn't want to be disturbed. You know, he has to go and pray. No, I was running because I'm like, hey, I don't want to be there. Then after some time, they came to tell me, oh no, he's fine, he's doing better. And I'm like, oh, thank the Lord. Because I had no idea what I was doing. Let me read. Let me read what Macarlo says. That's me. The first time I prayed for somebody, it was my friend's mother. It won't look exactly. You see what I mean, eh? So you have every reason to be afraid. Like, how will it look? And then I'm thinking, imagine I lay hands and then they get worse. It's happened to me before. Somebody called me to pray for them. I prayed, how are you feeling? And then they said, actually, the pain has increased. I'm like, check again. What do you mean? It can't increase, right? And so they checked again. No, it's still paining. I'm like, okay, give me some minutes. Then I go back to God. God, what's happening? You know, answers from heaven to earth, it's taking long. What? I mean, I'm trying to download the solution from heaven, but it's like it's buffering right now. The download speed is very slow. This person needs healing. You know, it's interesting when you are a pastor. It's very interesting because you're also there like this one. I also don't know what to do. But then you have to move beyond your limiting beliefs. It says, for as if things in his heart. So when I started to grow in the things of the Lord, what I started to do is I started imagining impossibility. And so my mind is, when I pray for you, it will be well. It doesn't matter if you're still experiencing pain. Look, let me tell you something. If you want to be praying for people also, right? It's the faith that matters. And you see, when it comes to faith, it's beyond what you see. So you can pray for somebody, and it may look like there are no results. But that's not what faith is. Faith sees before you can actually experience the result. It sees spiritually before you can see the physical manifestation. So when I learned that, I became bold. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna pray for you. Of course, it'll be fine. So sometimes people will text me, oh, this is what's happening. And then usually, I've never told somebody, no, maybe it won't work out. No, that's not how I talk. If you talk with me consistent, do you know what I'll say? It is well. Yeah, that's my signature phrase. It is well. I'll pray for you and it will be well. I'm not going to tell you, oh no, it might not work out. That's not me. Usually my words are, it is well, because I've learned. So you have to move beyond your limiting belief system. So sometimes instead of thinking, what if it doesn't work out? Your thought should be, what if it works out? What if my business actually succeeds? What if I'm able to provide for 10,000 people who are battling with depression because they're unemployed? What if my ideas could actually be the solution the world is waiting for? Why don't you think like that? So, in moments when I'm feeling afraid, even with ministry, I'm always thinking, there's somebody that needs to hear the word of God. That's why I have to go. The Bible says creation awaits the manifestation of the creature. So meaning there are certain things that will never happen until you grow. Oh, do you understand? Why do you think God, do you know why God rested? It's because he created somebody who could do what he does. He says on the seventh day he rested after he had made the man. Why? Because I've created somebody to be on the earth. You see, my pastor, my man of God says the earth was designed to listen to sons of God. So the minute Adam is on earth, God doesn't have to be on earth because there's a man to sustain Eden. So God doesn't have to be there because he created you. He created Given so that when Given comes at the hospital, they know, oh, Dr. Given is coming. Oh, yeah, we're waiting on Dr. Given. Praise the Lord. So move beyond your limiting belief system. What if it can actually work out? What if whatever it is that you needed to do could actually work out without a shadow of doubt? Amen. So be confident. This is also for brothers who are feeling shy. I can't ask out the girl because she's so pretty. You know, she has more money than me. It just takes some confidence, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to be the most attractive guy. I'm telling you, I'm giving you tips. You don't have to be the most attractive or the most fancy. No. It's just confidence. Just go, look, I like you. And I want to marry you because sisters love marriage. I want to marry you. So are you in or out? You're in. Ah, we praise the Lord. Okay, we're now dating. But of course, you can do better than what I've said. Praise the Lord. But really, just be confident. Amen. Don't be scared. Just go there. Look, I like you. And maybe bring a flower. Move beyond your limited beliefs. But if you're thinking she might say no, what if she says yes? What if you're denying us of beautiful babies because you refuse to ask out the sister? And now we can't have IBS babies because of you. No, brother, ask out the sister. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, I'm loving the meat. Amen. Number four, add value. Add value to others. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, give me a chance to laugh, guys. Okay, I'm very funny. So, Galatians 6, verse 9, the Bible says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So, add value to others. So, sometimes if you're dealing with the low self-esteem, sometimes you see yourself as inadequate or you feel like a victim, maybe truly because you've been victimized. Amen. Yes, maybe because you've been victimized. Praise the Lord. And so you find that you're always protecting yourself. There are people who always have a defense mechanism. So even when you're nice to them, they are responding in such a way that they're rude and they're wondering, what have I done? Praise the Lord. Yes, Macalo, I'm very funny. Free comedy for you. Yes. So sometimes it's because there's that defense mechanism. Something happened to them in the past. Amen. So sometimes you just need to add value to others. And in IBS, we want you to add value to others. Join a department at your church. Join a department in IBS. Because I'll tell you something, the minute you start being depended on, you start to see that what I'm doing actually matters because of you. I'll give an example. We have people who partner with us in IBS. So the reason why you can listen to meetings on the podcast is because there are people who send us money and they decide, look, we want people to hear the word of God. So this is how much we're contributing every month. If you thought this was free, it's not free. Oh, no, it's not. It's not free. There are people who are partners in IBS and every month they send us money and say, look, what we need to pay for. The Zoom that we have, usually Zoom is limited to 40 minutes. But if you want to have it for a longer period of time, you actually have to pay for it. So this is a paid Zoom thing because somebody decided to partner with us. So they're adding value. So the reason why you can hear me tonight is because somebody paid for this. Do you see? So it says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Amen. So keep adding value to others. Praise the Lord. Keep praying for others. Keep encouraging others. Amen. Keep being there for others because you are adding value. Praise the Lord. Okay, number five. I think there are eight or there are 10. I'm not sure. Number five is do the right thing even if it's hard. Do the right thing even if it's hard. How many of us have wanted to do the wrong thing? And when I say the wrong thing, I'm not even talking about sin. I'm just talking about moments when you don't want to be a Christian, you know? Like someone has offended you and you're ready to show them who you are. Do you know who I am? I can end you by saying certain words. And you know yourself, you can end somebody by just using certain words. But it's not necessary because you may never know. The minute you say those words, you've killed the whole relationship. Amen. One of the best ways to build your self-esteem is to do what is right. It gives you a strong sense of satisfaction that I did the right thing when I had the opportunity to do wrong. I could have said words that are hurtful towards that person that annoyed me on the bus, that person that annoyed me at my workplace. I could have been as bad as they were to me. Maybe my ex, I could have paid back my ex by also cheating on him or her. But the minute you cheat on somebody because they cheated on you, you're just learning bad manners. That's what you're learning. You're learning to accommodate cheating in your system. So you think it was just a one-time thing. I was just trying to revenge. But your heart has learned to accommodate cheating. So even after you do one revenge in your next relationship, no reason to cheat, but because your heart has learned a pattern. So you find that it's now become normal to cheat. That's how habits are formed. This is what I mean. So don't just do anything because, oh, they did this to me. So let me also do that to them. Your heart is learning something. Your heart can't know that you're just trying to pay back a wrong. No, your heart doesn't have that kind of intelligence. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart. Praise the Lord, guard your heart. But if I'm trying to revenge my ex because they cheated on me, so let me also go and sleep with somebody. And then in the end, somebody has AIDS because of revenge. They collect an STD. You see what I mean? It happens to people. Somebody has collected a whole STD because somebody cheated on them. And then now, oh, I shouldn't have done it. It's not necessary. Praise the Lord. So we begin to teach our hearts to actually accommodate wrong things. You are learning bad manners. So somebody cheats on you. It's fine. Cry, be sad, but move on. You see what I mean? And move on because it's not worth it. It's not good for your heart. Human beings, we're very feeble. It's just that some people think we're so strong. No, I'm strong. No, it's not true. If we were so strong, why did Jesus have to come to save us? We couldn't even save ourselves. Hey, we're all weak. That's why we need Jesus. In the context of Christ, we are strong. That's why the Bible says, I can do all things. Why? Through Christ. So the minute I leave Christ, I'm actually very weak. Yeah, I'm telling you, analysis of a human being. Human beings, very weak people. But in the context of Christ, oh, you're very strong because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So do the right thing even when it's hard. Look at what the Bible says in James 4, verse 17. It says, if anyone then knows they ought to do, if anyone rather knows they, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it is sin for them. So you know you're meant to do the right thing, but you do the wrong thing. The Bible is saying that that's actually sin. Praise the Lord. Number six, so we are almost done. I'll be done by 8:15 or 2015. Okay, number six, practice a small discipline daily in a specific area of your life. Ah, yes, discipline. How many of us love to wake up early in the morning? I don't think that many people who like to wake up early, especially now that it's cold. Right? It's now June in the month of May. So getting up early is not the easiest thing to do, but you have to learn to discipline yourself. Amen. Is that an area that seems overwhelming? Maybe it's your health, your work, your family, or something else, even relationships. Ladies and gentlemen, love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. And then it takes discipline to love somebody consistently. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm giving you easy re relationships advice. So sometimes when you don't feel like you love your partner, it's just a matter of disciplining yourself to love somebody. It's a discipline. I'm consistently choosing you every single day. Every day I'm choosing you. Yeah, because some of us have been very terrible to our partners, but your partner is still with you. So thank the Lord that your partner is still with you. With the attitudes we have, they should have left us. But no, thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord, because if you are in a place where it's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about me, you never know what it takes for somebody to be with you. I'll ask you a question. Would you stay in the relationship if you were dating you? I want you to think about it. Like, really think about it. The way you behave, the way you do things, the way you reason, would you still be with you? I want all of us to think about it. Because sometimes you never know what you do to people by how we behave. You may think, no, I'm just like that. No, I'm just stubborn. But you don't understand what it's doing to the relationship. So question, would you date you if you had an opportunity to date you in a certain instance? And I want us to really be honest. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. So practice a small discipline daily. You want to have a better health? Hello? Just start running and jogging. Go exercise. Invest in going to the gym. Instead of getting angry that your body is becoming bigger. And now people, and you know, people get offended when their bodies are becoming bigger. Like, how are we getting offended when we're the ones who are eating? No, guys, that's not good. Just go and exercise. Praise the Lord. Just go and exercise. Do you see? Exercise and discipline yourself. So it's just about discipline. The Bible says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself become disqualified. Even how we talk, you can discipline your tongue. It's not everything that's supposed to escape your mouth. Some things you have to keep to yourself. No, does this person know me? I can say certain things. It's not necessary. So let's just keep it inside. Discipline, very important. Because if you don't know how to discipline yourself, discipline is also what we call self-control. Controlling you. Do you understand? Controlling you. The Bible says a person who has no self-control is like a house that has no fence. You know those houses that you can just enter. You know those houses that don't have a wall fence, right? Anybody can enter. But the houses that have a wall fence, you actually have to knock and somebody has to give you access to their house. So the Bible is saying that when you don't have self-control, and you can allow anything. Boundaries. No, I can't do that. So I'll discipline myself. Amen. If it means you have to wake up earlier so that you can sustain the business, if it means you have to wake up earlier or sleep later so that you can study for the good grades, because the good grades will not happen by themselves. The business will not grow itself. So, for instance, me, it's not like I like talking to people. You know? You know that time when people were like, oh, you're so good at talking to people. No, I'm disciplined. There are also times when I don't want. No, I'm you. Ah, hello, look. No, I also don't want sometimes. I want to do something else. But I have to discipline myself, because if we're going to do things based off on our feeling, you'll never grow in the areas you want to grow in. Imagine you went to work based off on your feelings, like at your workplace. No, come when you feel like. You'll never go for it. No, just come when you feel like coming. Oh, you see that you actually don't like working. You like the money. That's why you're going. I don't know if you realize that you just like the money. It's not the work you like. It's okay. You can be honest. Praise the Lord. So practice a small discipline daily in a specific area of your life. Praise the Lord. Okay, number 7, celebrate small victories. Very important. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24 to 25, in the NLT, it says, so I decided there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that these pleasures are from the hand of God. So you passed a test. You woke up earlier than you usually do. Maybe for you, you wake up at 10, but you decided to wake up at 5 this whole week. Celebrate. You know, some of us want to, there are certain things that we have in our minds. I'll celebrate when I get married, when I get that job. You know that job that you want? The job. That's when I'll celebrate. When I meet the man, when I meet the lady. So there are certain things we have in our mind. This is what will cause me to celebrate. No. Celebrate small victories so that you can understand how to. Celebration encourages you. It inspires you to keep going. So I was able to do better in my Christianity this week. Celebrated. But do you know why sometimes we fail to do what God wants us to do? Because even when you do the right thing, nobody celebrates it. Even when we come where we come from, it's easier for people to notice the wrong thing that you did. But when you do something that's right, nobody will say anything about it. That happens, right? Maybe in your organization, you were doing your best. The boss didn't say anything. The minute you don't do the right thing, ah, I told you are useless. And then you're there, you're crushed. So learn to celebrate yourself. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes even when people are trying their best, they may not always recognize what you do, but you can recognize it. Don't also not recognize the work that you're doing. No. So every now and then, when I'm praying over myself, I'm always saying, look, you're a good pastor, Robbie. The way that advice you gave, no, you're good, bro. What? They should pay you to give that kind of advice. Encourage yourself, love yourself. Amen. Because if you don't love you, if you don't celebrate you, who is going to celebrate you? Praise the Lord. So celebrate small victory. You did something for yourself. Please celebrate it. Amen. Okay. Two more. Number eight, embrace a positive vision based on what you value. So what do you value? What prompts you to see a positive vision for your life? Amen. If you don't have a vision, you end up anywhere. Look at what the Bible says. Genesis 15, verse 4 to 6. The Bible says in verse 4, it says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Oh, I love that. And then look at verse 5. Then he brought him outside and said, look. The Hebrew word for look is nabat, I think. I have to go back to my notes, but it should be nabat. Looking is not just seeing, no. It's envisioning. So, what do you envision about your life? When I'm seated and I'm envisioning IBS, I'm thinking we are having annual conferences where Makalo can travel from where she is, where Gabriel can travel, where Giving can travel, where Michelle can travel. From out of Africa, where Claudette can travel from out of Africa to come for the annual conference because it happens once a year. I'm envisioning we own certain property so that when you guys are coming, we can just say, oh, yeah, we have an IBS lodge, please. But, and you know why sometimes things don't happen? It's because we don't have time to envision. So God says, I want you to envision, look toward the heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And then he says, so shall your descendants be. So Abraham kept on envisioning, okay, so Gabriel is going to come and Gabriel will be my son because we are all descended from Abraham. Mary Nguni is going to be my daughter. And so when Abraham was looking at the stars, he was looking at you. So when he began to see the stars, he started to see his descendants. Oh, I've seen David. That star is dancing. That should be David because David, you know, it used to be for vibes, right? So when the star was dancing, like, ah, that's David. And then when he saw this star that had so many other stars next to him, then he decided that should be King Solomon because Solomon loved women. So that star is King Solomon. So that's Abraham envisioning. So what do you envision about your own life? Praise the Lord. What do you picture? What is it about your life that you can see? Amen. When Lizzie is thinking about her life, what comes to your mind? Praise the Lord. When Lenny is thinking, what is coming to that mind? Praise the Lord. Yeah, so envision positivity, not in your mind, you are also broke. No, you know you can't be rich if your mind are broke like that because you always be broke, right? Because you're not even going to have the energy to even pursue the things you're meant to pursue. Praise the Lord. Number nine, practice the one-word strategy. So this is the practical one. I want you to think about it. So if you could pick one word to describe yourself, what would it be? I want all of us to type it. It's a simple exercise. So I'll be reading the words. If you could pick one word to describe yourself, what would it be? So I'll start. The first word for me is impactful. That's the word that describes me. So I want you to type it out. You need to practice the one-word strategy. What comes to your mind when we think about Caroline? What comes to your mind when we think about Miss Bololwa? What comes to your mind when we think about Moses? What comes to your mind when you think about Michelle or Sharon, right? So type it out. What's the one word that comes to your mind? I want to see a few comments. Even you who are watching on YouTube, I want you to comment. Michelle says, achiever, beautiful. Other people, type it out. What comes to your mind? Resilient, perfect. Lizzie says, kind. Okay. Anybody else? The one word that describes you. Gabriel says, winning. I love it. Anybody else? Come on, let's keep the chat going. I want all of us to practice. Victoria says, victor. I love that, Victoria. You are prophetic. So, Victoria is a victor. Yes. Any other comment? Because it says something about how you think about yourself. Caroline says, successful. Yes. Perfect. Any other person? Two more. Macalo says, overcomer. Yes. Mary Nguni says, winner. Ah, given. Man on a mission. There we go. Man on a mission. I love that. So that's the one word that comes to your mind. Amen. Yeah, practice that. Bololo says, achiever as well. Perfect. So, yes. Yeah, so now we can see what's on your mind. Praise the Lord. So now we know that we have achievers, we have overcomers, we have victorious people, we have men who are on a mission. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Okay. And the last one for tonight is take responsibility for your life. Praise the Lord. We tend to get in life what we are willing to tolerate, right? If you allow others to disrespect you, you're going to get disrespected. If you tolerate abuse, you get abused. If you think it's okay to be overworked and underpaid, that's what you'll be getting. So learn to also speak out for yourself. Speaking out doesn't mean you have to be rude, no, but just let people know that you have boundaries. I'll give an example. Personally, I talk to many people, right? I talk to many people, I interact with many people. And one of the things that I did is whenever I'm relating with, this is something that I was even teaching the leadership. When you're relating with the opposite sex, you have to learn to have boundaries. Boundaries mean you know what you can talk about in your inbox. Like you're not coming to me and calling me at 1 a.m. to come talk about useless things because, oh, I just wanted something to talk to. No. And usually people don't do that with me because I have boundaries. And then I've blocked people who've tried doing funny things. So even you, you're a leader, you find that guys can just text you anyhow. No, you should be able to say, no, I don't like people talking to me like this. People are cat calling you. I don't know. These days in Zambia, girls are called pies. Now you should be called a whole pie. What do you mean I'm a pie? You see, people will treat you like a pie. Praise the Lord. So learn to speak up for yourself and say, look, this is not how I relate with people. There've been times when I started and somebody comes, oh, I like you, and they're trying to flirt with me. And I say, oh, I'm like, look, sister, say what you want. If not, I'll block you. That's why we have the block button on WhatsApp. Use it. You see, some of you are still talking to your exes. Why are you still talking to your ex? You can block the person. Blocking the person doesn't make you bad or evil. No. People need to respect boundaries. Why are you texting me and calling me? You had a chance to be with me, so why are you texting me now? Hey, block the person. You see, a whole pie. Right? Amen. So take responsibility for your life. Because usually you tend to get what you tolerate. Praise the Lord. Have we enjoyed the meeting tonight? I hope this has helped somebody with the teaching. And I would just love to pray for you all so that we can achieve our dreams and do the things that God has called us to do. Praise the Lord. Because your dreams are worth it, ladies and gentlemen. Praise the Lord. I want you to know your dreams are worth it. They're worth fighting for, they're worth pursuing. That's worth doing, amen. So every day when you wake up, you know what God has destined in you. Always remember, if I don't do it, I'm robbing somebody of the ideas I have in me. If I don't rise, the scripture that always encourages me is that creation awaits the manifestation of the creature. So if Robbie doesn't rise, there's no ideas. If I don't rise, it means all of you cannot listen to the teaching we're having today. So I'm using my life as an example. For everything that you do, I don't know what you do. I don't know what vision God has given you, but whatever vision God has placed within you, it's crying out to come out. And it'll take you seeing yourself a certain way for you to manifest the the things God has placed in you. So sometimes we're waiting on God. No, I'm waiting for the right time. Amen. So tomorrow I'll be teaching about growing intentional. I'm going to help you know some of the secrets you can achieve for you to grow, even in the vision God has given you. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to share the flyer just after this meeting, and the meeting will be at 19 hours on Sunday tomorrow. I want you to join. It will sort of be almost be like a continuation, except that we're talking about growth, how you can grow, how you can be intentional, how to overcome certain excuses so that when Lizzie comes, we can get everything that God placed in Lizzie. We can get everything that God placed in Victoria. We can get everything that God placed in Sharon and everything that God placed in Brandon. Praise the Lord. So let me just pray for you. In the name of Jesus, Father Lord, I pray for everyone listening. Lord, I pray it is well for them, oh God, in Jesus' name. I pray, Father Lord, oh God, that they achieve their dreams. Lord, may you perfect everything, everything to do about them. In the mighty name of Jesus, they are strengthened, they achieve their goals, and Father Lord, they pursue everything they're meant to pursue. Lord, may you help them to see themselves the way you see them. May you help them to value themselves the way you value them. In Jesus' name, oh God, I pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for joining. Ladies and gentlemen,